All right, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is at the beginning there of Ephesians 2, where the Bible reads, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He says in verse 7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So the Bible makes it clear here that before we were saved, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We are saved by nothing else but faith in Jesus Christ. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, "for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're not automatically going to walk in them. We should walk in them. But in many cases, people who are saved, who believe on Jesus Christ, who have faith in Christ, are still living the way that they did before they were saved. They're still following those lusts that the Bible talks about in verse 2 and 3. Their conversation is the same as it was in time past. And they're living like the world. Now, turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And stick your finger there and then go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10 and Romans 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and Romans 12. I'm going to start by reading Romans 12, and then I'm going to give you the title of the sermon tonight. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tonight I'm going to preach on the mind. And here are some possible titles for the sermon. Title number one, you just pick the one that you want. Brainwashing is title number one. Title number two, mind control. And let me tell you something. We are living in a world where the devil, and we saw this in Ephesians 2, where the devil is out to get into your mind, and he wants to control your mind, he wants to twist your mind into believing in things that are not the way that they are in the Bible, that are not the way that nature intends, that are not the way that God intends. The devil wants to brainwash you, and the Bible says that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Our mind should not be conformed to the mind of this world. It should be transformed. We shouldn't be patterned after the world, and we shouldn't believe the way that the world believes or think the way that the world thinks. You see, there's a program of brainwashing that's going on in America today through the television, through the school system, through the media, through images and billboards and music, and it's just constantly bombarding us, trying to make us all think the same way and have the same opinions and agree on everything, but it's not the way that God would have us to think. It's not a biblical worldview. It's an unscriptural worldview that the devil wants us to believe in. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Look at verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so according to the Bible here, there's a war on for your mind. That's what it's saying here. I mean, look at it. It says in verse 2, "the weapons of our warfare." And what is that warfare? Is it a physical warfare? Is it a physical battle that we're fighting? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, listen now, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." He said, you need to have your loins girt about with truth. Truth, knowing the truth. He said you need to have the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Truth. Faith in God's Word. These are the weapons of our warfare against the devil's plan to get into our mind and indoctrinate us. And the Bible says here that there's a war on for the thoughts of your mind, according to verse 3. All these thoughts, all these imaginations, all these things going on in the mind that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, according to verse 3. He said it's a war for the mind. Now, look if you would at verse number... let's turn our Bibles. We're going to go through a bunch of verses real fast. You don't have to turn to all these. I'm just going to have you turn to a couple of them, okay? Turn if you would to Revelation 12. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to read you a whole bunch of other verses for sake of time. There is a war on for your mind. The devil is trying to get into your mind and change the way that you think. And God said, we can't be conformed to this world's way of thinking. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind through God's Word. Listen to these verses about how the devil wants to destroy your mind. He wants to deceive you. He wants to trick you. He wants to make you think things differently. Ephesians 4:14, you don't have to turn to these. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. People are out to deceive, the Bible says, and it's the devil's plan. Ephesians chapter 5, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 2 John, if you are memorizing with us, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look down at your Bible, Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, watch, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Flip over to chapter 13. Just one page over, right in your Bible. Revelation 13, 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Of course, I'm not going to go into that for sake of time, but that's a prophecy about the Antichrist and so forth. But again, it's just referring to the fact that the devil is a deceiver. The devil's goal is to deceive you, to trick you, to get you to believe in things that aren't true, to get you to believe in a lie. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just go back a few pages in your Bible toward the beginning. 2 Timothy 3, while you're turning there, Deuteronomy 11:16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, John 8:44. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. This is talking about the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is the father of lies. He's a deceiver. That's how he operates. He's not going to physically attack you, but he's going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to get into your mind. He's going to try to fool you and get you to think the wrong kind of thoughts. He's going to get you to imagine the wrong things. Look at 2 Timothy 3 where I had you turn. Verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And by the way, that's what salvation is. It's through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And you get that knowledge through the Word of God. But the Bible here is saying that there are deceivers. They're deceiving, they're being deceived, they're evil men, they're seducers. The devil's plan is to use these men to deceive you. And he said, you're going to need to use the Bible to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to continue in the things that you've learned, to continue in the Holy Scriptures, because this is the only thing you really know is true right here, the Bible. But the sad thing is, people are spending more time today, Christians are spending more time today with their head in the television set than in this book, and they're not renewed in the spirit of their mind. Their mind is conformed to the world. You see, the television is not being run by Jesus Christ. It's not being run by the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, stop and think about it. Who is turning the dials down at the television station? Now, even people who don't believe in God recognize that there are bad people in this world that have an agenda behind television, that have an agenda behind Hollywood movies, that have an agenda behind Madison Avenue in order to deceive people, to brainwash people. People have used, governments have used TV and media to brainwash people throughout history. Look at the Nazis. Look at the propaganda. Look at Adolf Hitler. Look at communist Russia. Look at all these historical examples where the government or bad people wanted to use the media in order to brainwash people and to get them to believe a lie. Now, how are we going to safeguard against being deceived? How are we going to get safeguarded against the devil controlling our mind? We've got to get out of this mainstream programming and get into God's Word. That's what we have to do. I mean, look, we all live in the world. I go to work every day just like you do, 6 days a week, you know, and sometimes I have to do work on Sunday. You know, I never miss church, praise the Lord, but we all live in the world. We're exposed to the world. We hang around the people of this world. We go out soul winning and we knock on the door of the people in this world. We work around people that are worldly, that aren't Christians, that are obviously thinking a lot different than we are. But in order for us to not be just like them, because if we're just like the world, something's wrong. We as Christians are supposed to be different. Amen. We're supposed to believe different. We're supposed to think different. We're supposed to act different. The only way is if we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that's going to take place, according to 2 Timothy 3, through the Holy Scriptures, through reading the Bible, through studying the Bible. You see, television is not entertainment. It's indoctrination. There's a program behind it. Now let me just explain it to you this way. The devil obviously has an organized plan, according to the Bible, to try to defeat you, to try to deceive you, to try to fool you. Now, as the pastor of Faithful Word Baptist Church, my goal is to teach you the truth, right? It's to preach you the truth and to try to get you living your life the right way through the preaching of God's Word. Now, how do I accomplish my goal as a pastor of teaching and preaching the truth? Turn to Ephesians 4, if you would, and I'll show you this. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians 4. The Bible says here in verse 14, you remember I read you this verse a little earlier about men who lie in wait to deceive you. Do you see that at the end of verse 14 there where it talks about the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive? And he explains that. But if you go back up a few verses to verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro." He's saying that we're not deceived. So basically, on one side, you have the devil, according to all those verses I showed you, that's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He wants to deceive you. He's sent out many deceivers into the world to try to deceive you. And then on the other side, you have the local church, which the Bible says pastors, teachers, evangelists, that are there to preach to you and teach you the truth so that you're not deceived. So these are the two warring factions right here. You've got the devil's plan. You've got the world that's trying to bombard you with lies and deceit. Then you've got the local church, which is using God's Word to try to preach to you the truth so that you're not going to be tossed to and fro and carried about with all the changing winds of this world and all the lies and deception that the devil has. But those are the two words. Now stop and think about it. Do I preach it all in one sermon? Do I preach everything that you need in one sermon? You just come to church one time and I preach it all to you and you just... you're done. No. The people who come to our church come here week after week. I've gone to church every week of my life, basically since I've been born. Unless I was too ill to come to church. I've pretty much come to church every single week of my life. And usually, throughout my life, I came to all three services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's how I was raised. You know, I came to an independent Baptist church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, Pastor Anderson, what was the one church service that just changed your life? put you on the path that you're on today. You know, of pastoring and winning souls and just of following Jesus Christ instead of following the world. I cannot point to any one service. I couldn't even point to a handful of services that changed my life. It was just a continual growth of just week in, week out. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I learned the doctrines of the Bible. I grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. That's how the other side operates too. They're not just going to brainwash you all at once and just corrupt you and just get you to become, you know, a fornicator or a whoremonger or get you into drugs or make you into a drunk or make you into a drug addict just overnight, just in one day. They're not just going to cram all that down your throat. They're not just going to in one day indoctrinate you to think that the most sick, disgusting, perverted things are normal, like homosexuality or whatever that they try to cram down our throat as being normal. They're not just going to do that in one day. They're not just going to come up to you and just say, worship Satan, you know, hang around with homosexuals, you know, get on drugs, get drunk, you know, believe that you came from a monkey, believe that you're nothing more than a highly evolved animal. They're not just going to hit you with that in one day. It's a slow process of indoctrination that takes place every time you turn on your TV, every time you sit down at that college classroom or public school, every time you pick up that Worldly magazine, every time you pick up People magazine or US Weekly, every time you let the world indoctrinate you through all the rock and roll and hip-hop music, it's a slow process of breaking you down and wearing down what you believe in and teaching you to believe in a lie. See, the average person, you don't just walk up to them and say, did you know that God didn't create this world? Did you know that there is no God and that you actually came from a monkey? And actually there was just an explosion. And that's where everything came from. There was a bunch of matter floating around. It all exploded. Next thing you know, there was like a soup and then things started just spontaneously coming to life. Or one thing spontaneously came to life, even though nowhere in this world has anyone seen anything spontaneously come to life. In any laboratory, they can mix all the chemicals and whatever they want. Nothing comes to life, because only God can create life. Amen. They don't just get you to believe that overnight. It's just a slow process of every museum you go to, right? It's just telling you, millions of years old, millions of years old. And then every cartoon that you watch as a kid, that's put out by Hollywood. Every Disney movie, Ice Age, or whatever, you know, has these subliminal messages just trying to get you to believe in, you know, the world's millions of years old, evolution, whatever. You see, when you go down to the movie theater and watch the latest Hollywood movie, you say, Pastor Anderson, I went and saw a movie as a clean movie. There wasn't really anything bad, you know, except this one part. That's usually what it is, right? The movie was fine, except there's just this one homosexual character, this one sodomite character. But what you need to understand is that the whole purpose why that movie was made was because of that sodomite character. You might watch the movie and say, oh, the movie's totally clean except one bedroom scene. There's one bedroom scene where a couple people after the first date hit the sack, and the lights go out and whatever, and you're on to the next scene. Other than that, it was a great movie, but what you need to understand is that the devil made that big, expensive movie. All the money that went into it, all the millions of dollars that went into that Hollywood movie, as a vehicle in which to carry that smutty scene, that bedroom scene, into your mind. He doesn't mind spending all the money to produce a whole two-hour movie just to bring that kind of filth into your mind that normally wouldn't have come into your mind. I mean, normally you as a Christian probably wouldn't say, let me pull up on the internet, let's watch a couple people hop into bed together. But no, you're not there to watch that. You're there to watch the cool movie, the James Bond, the whatever the case may be movie that has all the explosions and the excitement and the fun and the romance. But then you watch it and that filthy scene comes into your mind. And that's the devil's plan. And me, he said, that's not going to affect me. But what about when you see it again? And the next week you watch it again. You watch something else that's got the same thing. And you grow up, literally, I grew up with it. I grew up with TV and movies. Just not a week went by that I didn't watch people hopping into bed together. My whole life. You know it's true. Say, well, it doesn't show any nudity. But still, the concept of people just going on a date and hopping into bed together. Going on a date, hopping into bed. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're just watching it again and again and again. The philosophy that you don't have to be married to go to bed together. The Bible says it's fornication. The Bible says it's wicked. You should keep yourself pure until you're married. That marriage is between a man and a woman. And that it's not to be something that you just do with everybody. It's a special action that's between people who've committed to be together for life till death do they part. But that's being broken down today in our society by just a bombardment every single day. Just telling you, it's normal, it's normal, it's normal, it's normal, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And today, most Christians, so-called, think it's fine. Because of the continual bombardment. I mean, look, if you come to church every week here, you know, you're going to grow. You're going to learn new things. You're going to grow. You're not going to grow overnight. And when you let the devil's crowd indoctrinate you, they will slowly indoctrinate you and get you to believe in things that you don't believe in right now that are not Bible. They'll get you desensitized to things that normally you, you'll get desensitized. I remember, when I quit watching TV at first, I quit watching TV for a few months, and then I watched something on TV, and I hadn't seen TV in a few months, and it blew me away. Like, wow, there's a lot of bad stuff on TV. But before, I didn't even realize it, because I'd just become so used to watching people hop into bed together on TV, it just meant nothing to me. I just got used to the women on the screen in their bikinis and in their promiscuous clothing. I just got used to it. I just got used to all the beer ads. I got used to all the wrong philosophies that were being taught. It just seemed normal to me. Just didn't think anything of it. Until you get away from it for a while and just get in this book for a while, you go back to it and you say, boy, this is wrong. This is bad. And many people today, and the sermon's not about TV. I guess I'm kind of going into TV because that's part of the brainwashing program of the devil, is through the media, through TV. And by the way, it's not just the devil, it's men. Did you notice how many references there were to evil men doing it? That's who he uses to do it. Think about this. What do most Christians, if you were to ask most Christians, what's wrong with R-rated movies? Or what's wrong with going to the theater and watching movies or watching TV? What are the things that they would say? Like, why you shouldn't watch a particular movie? Help me out. Language is probably a big one, right? Isn't that what the rating system of the world is based upon? The G, the PG, the PG-13, the R rating. A lot of it's based upon language. They'll say, well, this movie has bad language, therefore it's a bad movie, okay? Or it needs to go up in rating from PG to PG-13, from PG-13 to R rating, right? What are some of the other things that people would say is bad about a movie besides language? What was that?
Nudity.
Yeah, exactly. Nudity. They'd say, oh, the nudity, you know, it showed nudity, okay? What else? Violence is one. You know, some movies are very gory and graphic and violent. That's part of what people would say is wrong with movies. Somebody give me something. Is there anything else?
Crude humor.
What's that?
Crude humor.
Yeah, just adult humor. Okay. But hold on a second. That's what the world has indoctrinated us, right? If you open the TV guide, it'll say next to whatever TV show, it'll have a little code or something, whether it has nudity. This is the way it was when I was a kid anyway. It was like a little code, like N for nudity, you know, L for language, you know, or whatever. And it basically V for violence. It's pretty much the four things that you just mentioned. Pretty much are what it was based upon. But hold on a second. Is that really the worst part about TV? If you stop and think about it, let's say you were to take out the nudity. Let's say you were to take out the language. Let's say you were to take out the fact that, and by the way, the language is so hypocritical anyway, because they'll leave in God's name in vain. They'll leave in blaspheming Jesus Christ. They'll just take out, you know, their little potty word list that they decide, and they'll leave in a bunch of filthy stuff that they decide. You know, they're totally hypocritical. It's just their arbitrary list of bad words. Half those words are in the Bible, by the way. Half the words that they call a bad word are in the Bible. You know what I mean? So it's just totally hypocrisy, totally not a biblical standard there. But let's say you were to take out the language. Let's say you were to take out the nudity. Let's say you took out the goriness of the violence. Would everything be fine and dandy? Well, according to them, it would. According to them, it'd be a G rating. According to them, they'd say, oh yeah, no nudity, no violence, no smutty humor. Rated G. But hold on a second. I don't believe that that's the worst part of TV. I don't believe it's any of those things. I'm not saying those things aren't bad. I'm saying that that's not the real agenda behind TV and movies. I'll tell you what it is. It's the philosophy that's being taught you in these movies. It's the philosophy. And Christians today, they'll edit out the movies. They'll get an edited version, the airplane version, or the TV. You know, what's wrong with the movie? I'll tell you why I don't want my children growing up filling their mind with several hours of TV like the average kid. I'll tell you why I don't take them to the movies or have them watch movies, even if they were cleaned up, even if they took out the bad language, the violence, the nudity. I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's the philosophy that's being taught. The philosophy about how to live your life. The philosophy about what life is about. You see, the Bible teaches that life's all about, you know, serving God. Serving Jesus Christ. Church should be a big part of your life, right? Reading the Bible should be a real big part of your life. Prayer should be a big part of your life, according to the Bible. These are all things that the Bible talks a lot about. Where are these things in TV and movies? Usually made fun of, made light of, or not there at all. You see, not only is the TV just putting nude images into your mind. Hold on a second. What's worse? Now, obviously, nudity is wicked. I'm not condoning it. It's very wicked. The Bible talks a lot about that. But hold on a second. What if you just see people? What if my daughter sees a guy and a girl go on a date together, and on the first date they go home, and you know they're kissing, they turn off the lights, and then the next morning they're in their pajamas making orange juice in the kitchen. But it didn't show anything. You didn't see anything. Let me tell you something. That is teaching your child a philosophy about how to live their life. You say, oh, it didn't show anything, Pastor Anderson. Totally clean movie. Nonsense. It's not clean if your children are watching people going to bed together that aren't married. But you see, our standards have changed. And the world would have considered that licentious and wicked decades ago, back when this country had some decency. But today we've been slowly desensitized to the point where Christians can have a smile watching people go to bed together on that screen that are not married and then say it's fine because there was no nudity. Because the world told you it was fine. Because the government told you it was fine with their little rating system, or the Motion Picture Association of America told you it was okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to teach your children the philosophies of this world that it's okay for people to fornicate and sleep together that aren't married. Now you say, oh man, what are you crazy? Yes, I'm crazy. I'm insane. I believe that marriage is the place to go to bed with somebody. Isn't that weird? Isn't that crazy? I don't believe in the filthiness of the fornication of this world where people just go from one person to the next, to the next, to the next, and they get married three times and divorced three times, and they have a different girlfriend every week that they're sleeping with. You have children conceived out of wedlock. It's not right. And it's been condoned today in America, and it's considered normal today because of a slow, constant brainwashing. It's through TV, it's through Hollywood, and again, we could go on all night about that. I don't want to spend my whole sermon just on TV and Hollywood. But they're teaching you philosophies. They're teaching you. Now look, let's go to the issue of homosexuality. And you know, oh, this is sensitive. It's not a sensitive issue. You say it's controversial. It's not controversial. Not in this church. Amen. I don't know what planet you're from, but here on earth, it's not controversial. There is no controversy. There's no debate about it. There's no question about it. The Bible is so clear. And it's condemning of the vile, that's God's word. Strange is the word that God used in Jude 1. All these different words that he uses to describe homosexuality, sodomy as the Bible calls it. You know, they try to dress it up with cute words like gay, which means happy. No. It's sodomy, it's being strange or queer, it's vile, it's gross. That's what the Bible says. It's wicked, it's an abomination is what the Bible says. Amen. Now hold on a second. How has the media brainwashed homosexuality? Well, this is how they started with it. They started with it as a joke. You see, most people have never even heard of homosexuality. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, most people had never even heard of it. I mean, I talked to a guy who's about 60 years old right now, and he said he'd never even heard of it until he was an adult. You never even knew that there was such a thing. Talked to many people in that baby boomer generation that I never heard of it until I was an adult. Never even knew that there was such a thing. It blew me away when I heard that it existed. And it was something that you'd never... I was born in 1981. And the first time I ever saw a sodomite, I lived in Sacramento, California. And I was probably 15 before I saw somebody that was a sodomite, that was openly a sodomite, that I knew about. And I was 15. I was living in California. Okay, how is it that we've come to the place where it's just considered normal? Well, first, the natural reaction when someone heard about it in the past was revulsion. Ugh, gross. Right? I mean, that's the natural reaction. Like, what? You know, that's gross. That's disgusting. And that's what the Bible used the word vile, which means disgusting. But then basically what happened is you start in the movies, and they start with kids. They start with kids. They start with children's movies. You go back to the 1940s and 50s, and that's where it started, the brainwashing on that issue. You start out with movies for adults that make it funny to cross-dress. You know, you think of the movie Some Like It Hot. Who's ever heard of the movie? It's an old movie. It's an old black and white movie from the 40s, 50s. Some Like It Hot. The whole movie, these guys are dressed as women. You know, they're not queers or anything. They're just dressed like women. They're wearing makeup and dresses, and it's all a big funny thing. The kids are being brainwashed in the 1950s through cartoons. You go back to the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Bugs Bunny dressed up like a girl. Everybody who's seen Bugs Bunny knows this. He would dress up like a girl, put on lipstick and makeup and a dress. And then he would be kissing Elmer Fudd. And he's hugging him, and he's basically just molesting Elmer Fudd. You know, and Elmer Fudd is turning like purple and green and red. He's got sweat coming down his face. Like, oh man, you know, what's going on? And what do while you watch? You laugh. Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? Isn't that funny? You know, and that's how it started. And then just it constantly progressed through the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, it just got more and more blatant, more and more open about it. It became funny. Then they started having it on the sitcoms in the evening. You know, the sitcoms that everybody watched, Seinfeld, Friends, those type of shows. And usually it was a joke. Still, it wasn't just that they were normal. It was a joke. It was just a fun, you know, some flamboyantly queer character would go, some guy acting like a girl, and everybody's laughing at him, and it's funny, it's weird. But you know, the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. There's nothing funny about sin. There's nothing funny about being a queer. When I was a kid, like I said, I never even laid eyes on a homo in my life, but yet the jokes about it. You know, people would tell jokes about it. Don't tell me your jokes about it. I don't want to hear about it. I won't tolerate any jokes about it in my presence because there's nothing funny about it. It's gross. It's vile. And they try to get you used to it through humor. It's funny. Ha, ha, ha. You know, you get used. Well, but by then, you stop being so repulsed by it because you're just starting to get used to the idea. From laughing at it, it's funny, it's a joke. And you make fun of it. You know, you make a mockery of it. You make a mockery of it. Well, then the next stage in the brainwashing program goes from making a mock at sin, as the Bible says, making a joke out of it. The next thing that happens is that then people begin to feel sorry for them. Because everybody's making fun of them. And, oh, the poor them, you know. And then, you know, we feel sorry for them. And then we start to feel sorry for them. Then it becomes prohibited to make fun of them. You know, first, they're the ones who started making fun of them in the first place to get us used to it. Then they say, no, you can't make fun of them. No, 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 no. They are, you know, suffering here. They're a victim here. You know, we should feel sorry for them. Okay. And then you start to feel sorry for them. Then it becomes the fact that because people feel sorry for them, then they have the green light to just come open with it. Come out of the closet openly. Then now we're past that point of the brainwashing. We went through the humor phase. Then we went through the feel sorry for them phase. Now we're at a phase where this is what's being brainwashed. There's so many of them, you have to accept them. I mean, if you watch TV, you'd think that 1 in 4 people is a homo. That's what TV will make you think. When really, there's not that many. But that's what they want you to believe, that there's so many of them, we have to accept them, we just have to get used to them, cutting our hair and whatever, you know, whatever in our life, you know. If you go get a hair, you know, thank God my wife cuts my hair for me. But if I get my hair cut, I say I want her to cut my hair. Okay, because usually the guy who's cutting your hair, you know, do I really need to say anything else? But the bottom line is this. We become desensitized to something that's so weird to the normal person. To the person who just reads this book only. Let's say you just turned off your TV for a while. Turned off the radio and just spent a lot of time reading this book. You'd be shocked at the fact that that would be considered normal or acceptable, or that you know that you would look at it as just, well, it's just another sin or whatever. You know, if you think that way, you didn't get that from this book. You got brainwashed to think that way over time, slowly. That's just one issue. But I want to get off of TV and Hollywood, because I don't want to spend my whole sermon on that, because that's not the devil's only program to get you brainwashed. Look, if you would, at let's look at Titus 1:15. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He says in, where did I have you turn, I'm sorry? Titus 1:15, he says this, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The world's mind is defiled. This unbelieving world, they have a defiled mind. They have an impure mind. But God says that if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, we can have a pure mind. The Bible tells us that we should let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's possible for us to have a clean and pure and righteous mind. So we can win this battle that's on for our mind. We don't have to be deceived. We don't have to follow the siren call of the world. We don't have to march off the cliff like lemmings. We don't have to drink the Kool-Aid of the world. We can win this battle and have a pure mind. We can have a pure mind if we spend time in God's Word. Look if you would at 1 Peter 1. Just go a few pages to the right in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the Bible says in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And he said in verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So the Bible's telling us here that we need to basically take hold of our mind and bring every thought into subjection, as it said in 2 Corinthians 10. Bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of the knowledge of Christ. And that's done through reading God's Word. That's done through meditating upon God's Word day and night. Ask yourself this question. Do you spend more time in this book or letting the world educate you? Now we could go into the school classroom. We talked about Hollywood and TV. We could go into the school classroom, the brainwashing that takes place in school. It starts out with the most basic thing in the young years that you think of. What's the obvious thing that everybody's thinking of with public school that you're being indoctrinated on? Evolution, right? Evolution. I knew a Christian girl who grew up in an independent Baptist church. Now this made me doubt her salvation. But I'm just telling a story. A girl grew up, independent, fundamental Baptist church, claimed to be a believer in Jesus Christ, went to a secular university, science major, okay, a science major at one of these California universities, and basically got to the point where she began to believe in evolution and said, there's got to be a way to reconcile the Bible and evolution. You can't reconcile the Bible with evolution. People try to say, well, you know, just because you believe in the Bible, you can still believe in it. No, you can't. Who are you fooling? Who are you kidding? The Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He said in 6 days God created the world and everything that's in it. According to Exodus chapter 20. You can't believe both. Amen. Just decide. Are you a monkey or are you a child of God? Amen. Are you made in the image of Almighty God? Are you a human being with a soul and a spirit? Or are you a piece of flesh that resembles an animal that's just a little more evolved? You see the bulletin? This is a beaver dam. A beaver built this dam. A beaver built this out of sticks and twigs and rock. And you know, that beaver later on just got more evolved and just started building skyscrapers and airplanes and roads and trains and all these different things. Just decide what you're going to believe. I mean, is that what you believe? Do you believe that you're an animal? Then eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. That's what the Bible says, if there is no God. Eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow you're going to die anyway. And it'll all be over. And what shall become of all your labor wherewith you've labored under the sun? But I believe that I am made in the image of God, that I have a soul and a spirit. That dog, I look into my dog's eyes and just stare into its eyes and there's nothing there. It's true. It gives me a really, you know that puppy dog look that it gives you. You know, it just looks at you. It doesn't have a soul. That dog does not have a consciousness that we have as human beings because we're made in the image of God. You can teach a chimpanzee to ride a bicycle, but it doesn't make it a human being. It doesn't give it a soul. It doesn't make it an eternal creature. You can shave all the hair off it and dress it up and teach it sign language, but it's never going to be like a human being. It's true. You can teach a parrot to talk. It's true. You can try to communicate with the dolphins, you know? But let me tell you something. There's a difference between man and animal.
That's right.
Yeah. And I don't believe that I'm an animal. And you wonder why people didn't live like animals. They've been brainwashed through the school system that they're an animal. And then you wonder why they live like an animal, why they have the morality of an animal. You say, oh, you know, homosexuality is normal. The animals do it. I've been saying they're animals for years. Everybody got mad at me. And see, the thing is, people try to tell you, well, you know, look at all the other things that animals do. There are animals who eat their own children. It's true. There are animals who will eat their own child, okay? But I'm not an animal, thank God. I don't look to the animal and say, teach me how to live. What is another brainwashing, though? It's not just evolution. Oh, no. You say, well, my children, they know evolution's not true. They'll be fine. Well, this girl was an adult, been in church her entire life, Bible-believing Christian, and they got into her head after 4 years of just every day indoctrinating her on that. And then somebody gave her the DVDs from Kent Hovind, and she basically said, well, thank you so much, because when she watched those Kent Hovind DVDs, then she's like, yeah, evolution's false. I don't know why I was getting sucked in by it. Thanks. And I'm thinking to myself, why do you need a DVD? You got the Bible telling you. Isn't that enough? You know, you need some science DVD to tell you that? I just believed it when I read it in the Bible. But that straightened her out on it, you know, the science of it, because she was being brainwashed. And so today, there's no doubt in her mind, you know, she says evolution is false. It's a big hoax. It's a hoax. It's a lie. But that's not it right there. That's not the end of it. There's all kinds of other programming going on at that school system trying to get you to accept things that you don't believe in. An example that I gave recently, my niece, you know, was basically shown an exercise video of just a flaming sodomite, you know, telling her, doing the jumping jacks and, you know, this, you know, whatever. It's just getting you used to those kind of images. Would you be playing that in your own home? No. There's no way. But you go to school and you're indoctrinated on other things like overpopulation. I remember I was shown videos in school several times. The same video. Several times in high school, in college, both. I saw this. It showed a picture of the world. And it had these little light bulbs appear every time there was 1 million people in that part of the world. And it had this sound of like a beating heart. Boop, 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 boop. And basically, every time there'd be a million people, and it showed the dates going forward. So it was like, you know, 3000 BC, 4000 BC. It's funny because all the history and everything always starts around like what? 3 or 4000 BC? Because before that, millions of years, people were just running around, ooga booga. Then all of a sudden they started building pyramids, Stonehenge, aqueducts, things that we couldn't even build today. You know, boy, that was a pretty fast leap in technology there. You know, from being a caveman to all of a sudden you're speaking all these complex languages and building all these structures and everything. But anyway, it started like, you know, 3000 BC or whatever. Boop, 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 boop. And it's just every like 1,000 years, a couple more lights are coming on. Boop, boop, boop. Then it starts getting into like the 1800s, the 1900s. It's like, boop, and all these lights are coming on, you know, and then it's just like, boop, 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 and it's just like, and it goes to like 2050, and there's just, every ocean is full of people just, you know, just lit up the whole screen. And it said, this video, and this was shown to us in school, that was just part of the video, that was just the end of a whole video about why we need to reduce the world's population. And this video praised China, praised communist China for forcing women to have abortions if they violated the one-child policy. It showed them going, it showed these Chinese ladies going around. This is a video we were showing in school. Showing a Chinese lady going around saying, have you taken your birth control pill today? Every day, in every village in these parts of China, a woman would come to their house and say, hey, just checking, just making sure you took your pill today. Just wanted to remind you. And she was like in charge of her block. And that was her job, was to go around to everybody. Do you want somebody from the government knocking on your door every day? Did you take your birth control murder pill? You know, and that's what's going on in China. And it was praised. Like, this is great. This is wonderful. And the company that put out the video was called Zero Population Growth. You know, that was their goal. Because otherwise, you know, we're all going to die of global warming. It's funny because, you know, it's all this pollution and global warming stuff. There's a volcano erupting right now in Iceland that's putting more junk into the air than probably mankind has put out in the last 6,000 years. And they can't stop it. Spraying out all this ashes, all this toxic CO2 and whatever. That you know, they're afraid of CO2 and then the toxic ash and poisons and stuff. Just spraying out of the thing. You know, what are they going to do about it? They're probably trying to figure out a way to stop it. You know, they can't stop it. Man is like a speck on this world compared to all the nature and all the things that are going on. I mean, did you know that you could fit the entire world's population into the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida? It's true. I did the math myself. Somebody told me that, and I checked it out myself. I got on a map. I measured Jacksonville, Florida. You could easily fit every human being in the world, 7 billion people you could fit within the city limits of Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville, Florida is a pretty big city. But still, have you ever driven around America? Have you ever traveled on a road trip and realized that the world is empty?
Yeah.
I mean, if you go through California, the most populated state in America, everything above Sacramento, which is like a third of the state, there's two towns that have any substantial amount of people that are about the size of Flagstaff. Redding and Eureka, each about the size of Flagstaff. Other than that, it's just trees. Nothing. The whole central California is nothing but farms. The whole lower third of California is a big empty desert. You know, you just have a few population centers in L.A., San Diego, San Francisco area, Sacramento. The whole rest of it's empty. That's the most populated state in America. What about Arizona? What about New Mexico? Texas? Texas is empty. Even if you go to the East Coast, you drive through Maryland, it's empty. Pennsylvania, New York! I mean, you got Manhattan, this massively overpopulated island, but everything else is empty. But the world wants to brainwash you. No, no, we're overpopulated. We're all going to die. We can't have children. We've got to be on birth control. We've got to use all these contraceptives. And they're teaching kids about using contraceptives when they're a teenager. They'll give them a contraceptive. They can't even give them an aspirin without a parental permission form. But they can give them a contraceptive. They can teach them about all this stuff. It's a brainwashing that the world's overpopulated. Brainwashing that they're an animal. Brainwashing that this world's going to be here forever. Brainwashing into environmentalism. When God promised us that the heat and cold and the seasons will stay the same according to Genesis 8:20 until the end of the world, it will all be intact. I believe that. End of story. Genesis 8:20. Done. But your kids are being brainwashed in all the world's philosophies. They're being brainwashed into the religion of environmentalism. They're being brainwashed into socialism. They're being brainwashed. Most people think that our country is a democracy. Anybody who's studied this country at all knows that, number one, the word democracy is never found in the Constitution, never found in the Declaration of Independence, never found in any of our founding documents. And I have done a lot of study about the American Revolution and the founding of our country in the last few years. And I found that every one of the founding fathers said that democracy is the worst form of government.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, George Washington, all those guys said it's bad. I think it was Ben Franklin who said it best.
Yeah.
He said democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting about what's for dinner. Yeah, great. In a democracy where the people rule, basically what that means is that the 51% can abuse the 49%, or the 99% can abuse the 1%.
Right.
I mean, think about it. If we live in a democracy, we can just say, well, wait a minute, you know, 10% of people have all the money. That's not fair. Who says they should give us all their money? Okay, great. You know? Or what if 60% of the people in America say, we don't think people should be allowed to have guns? They can take away the guns from the 40%, right? Take away everybody's guns, because we don't think we need guns. Let me explain something to you. Most people are dumb. It's true. The average person is not very smart. If you read the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So most people believe wrong. Most people are not smart. Most people don't know what's going on. And so therefore, our country was founded as a constitutional republic. Now, this is why this is so important. Because in a democracy, the 99% could just vote to kill the 1%, or take away their money, put them in jail, tax them, whatever. But in a constitutional republic, every individual's rights are protected. You know, that means that the 49%, the minority, is protected. In a constitutional republic, the minority has rights. The individual has rights. Look, do you think I'm in the majority tonight after you've listened to this sermon? Do you think my opinions are in the majority? But you know, thank God, because I live in America, which is not a democracy, which is a constitutional republic, I have the right to have a different opinion.
Amen.
I have the right to be an individual, to believe what I want to believe, to raise my children the way I want to raise my children. Whereas most people would say, well, you should do this. The constitutional republic protects my rights as an individual. So that the majority, the mob rule, can't just take over. And a democracy is just one step away from a dictatorship, one step away from communism, one step away from socialism, because that's what happens when you empower all the idiots to just do whatever they want and vote for whatever they want. You just empower them all. They'll vote in Hitler. They'll vote in Stalin. They'll vote in Obama. You know, yes, this is, say, it's all three of them. Which of these does not belong? Stalin, Hitler, Obama. It's a trick question. None of the above, okay? Because they're all socialist. They're all fascist. They're all totalitarian. They're all wanting to basically increase the power of the government and take away the rights of the individual. So, oh, I can't believe you talk about politics in church. You know what? I'll talk about anything that the Bible teaches in this church.
Amen.
And you know, the Bible teaches all these things. The Bible teaches freedom and liberty and giving people individual rights. The Bible teaches that broad is the way that leads to destruction, that most people are on their way to hell, that most people believe the wrong thing, that most people are ignorant and foolish. And so Obama is what you get when you basically just allow a bunch of people who've been brainwashed by school, brainwashed by TV, brainwashed in the movie theater, brainwashed with the radio station, brainwashed by magazines and Madison Avenue. They're all brainwashed. They think, oh, man, it's good. Our leaders have our best interests at heart. They love us. Obama loves us. George W. Bush loved us. The Senate loves us. Barney Frank, I know he's running a house of prostitution out of his house, but he loves us. You know, I know that they, you know, they're not perfect, but Bill Clinton loved us. They want what's best for us. No, they're evil. They're bad people. And power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we have people in charge of our country today that don't care about what we believe in as Christians. Because we're in the minority. They don't care. It doesn't matter what we believe in. Because we're not the majority. And now that we're in this democracy where the government can vote away our gun rights, they can vote away our free speech with the Patriot Act, They can vote away our right to habeas corpus. They can vote away our right to a trial by jury. They can vote away everything that's our right, and we can just be imprisoned without a trial or tortured on Guantanamo or whatever because we're a terrorist or whatever they think we are. When the Bible has taught us that, look, the majority is going to be wrong. We can't let the world indoctrinate us and teach us what's right. We got to get in the Bible and let this far. And you're not going to read this book cover to cover and say, I love Obama. Because let me tell you something. This book says that life begins at conception in Hosea chapter 9, verse 11. And in Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23. Compare those three verses. Hebrews 11:11. Life begins at conception, my friend, and Obama's a murderer because he basically promotes and spends our tax dollars on killing innocent human beings, killing babies. Killing babies inside their mother's womb by funding Planned Parenthood. McCain, same thing. Put it in your pipe and smoke it, Republican parrot.
Right.
McCain, same thing. Said, oh yeah, let's fund Planned Parenthood. Our leaders are evil. They don't line up with this book. I'm against abortion. It's murder. I'm against homosexuality. I'm against fornication. I'm against all of it. I believe what God told me to believe. And if you get what you believe from the world, you and I aren't going to see eye to eye on anything. But if you get in this book and you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and I'm reading this book and I got the Holy Spirit inside of me, we are going to agree on most things that matter. Because we both are walking. Turn to Philippians 3. This is the last place we'll turn tonight and we'll be done. Look at Philippians chapter 3. And you say, you know, I love Obama. Are you mad at me? I love socialism and communism. I think, you know, Stalin wasn't that bad. Is that okay? You know, Pastor Anderson, I believe in evolution. Are you mad at me? No, it's not your fault. You've been brainwashed. You've been indoctrinated. But you need to gird up the loins of your mind. You need to take control of your mind tonight. And look, those of you that have been saved a long time and you say, well, Pastor Anderson, I agree with what you're saying. I agree with these Bible doctrines. You know, I agree with what you're saying about all these issues. But hold on a second. You that have been saved for a long time, you that are mature Christians in the Lord, you're winning souls, you're studying your Bible, you're more advanced in spiritual things, you need to hear this sermon because let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. The devil is out to indoctrinate you too. They'll pay you money. The government, which has become just a tool of the devil today in 2010. It's just controlled by the devil these days. Let me tell you something. The government will pay you to indoctrinate you. They'll give you $10,000, $5,000 to get you in one of their schools and pump their sewage into your mind. They'll pay you to do it. They're constantly offering to pay me to put my kids in their system. They'll buy them a laptop. You know, they'll give them laptops and free school supplies and free lunches, and they'll give me a Pell Grant and a scholarship and all this stuff. They'd love to get me in their school and pump their garbage into my mind. I'd say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to go to school and just study electronics, study math. Oh, but you have a required course in diversity. You have a required course in, you know, globalism. That's why I a while back when I went, when my job wasn't going quite as well, I was like, you know, I need to do something here because I was working for a job where I wasn't making as much money. I looked into going to ITT Tech because I had a lot of math class under my belt and I do electronics for a living to this day. That's what I do for a living, fire alarm systems. I said, I'm going to look into ITT Tech. I had to take required classes at ITT Tech, just a tech school, in globalism. Literally, globalism. Like teaching me about the global village, how the one world system. You know, I had to take class in globalism and also diversity. And they're not talking about ethnic diversity. I'm all for, you know, I eat every week Chinese food, Mexican food, you know, soul food. Hey, I'm all for diversity. I'm all for, hey, I love people red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in His sight. You know, I speak several languages. I'm all for cultural diversity, but that's not the diversity they're talking about. They want you to accept white, black, red, yellow, gray, and the homo, like he's some race of people. You know? But I'm not going to let the devil get into my mind. I'm not going to sell my soul for that cheap. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, I can get this thousands of dollars. All I got to do is take this class on whatever. All I got to do is go down there and let them teach me psychology, you know, and teach me philosophy, and teach me religion, and teach me, you know, diversity, and teach me globalism. To me, this is the most precious thing I own right here. And my children are the most precious thing that I have, and what's inside their mind is precious. And I'm going to do everything I can not to let the devil get into my mind. And you know what? He's going to get in there just because we live in the world, right? We're going to see the billboards. We're going to see all the girls that are scantily clad on the billboards and on the magazines. We're going to see all the smut because we live in the world. We can't avoid all of it, let's face it. That's why we need a constant, daily washing of the water by the Word to clean that stuff out of our mind. And you've got to do it, my friend. Just get up in the morning and read this book. It's God's Word. It's the Holy Bible. Go to bed at night with this book on your mind. Throughout the day on the lunch break, get this out and read it. This anchor will keep you from drifting with the changing views of this world. You see, when I'm preaching tonight, everything I preach tonight would have been normal in America 50 years ago. Today I'm considered a madman. But if I believed the opposite of what I preached tonight 50 years ago, I would have been considered a madman. You see how the world's constantly changing? But yet, if I have this book, it doesn't matter whether I was living 50 years ago, today, or 50 years in the future. I will not change. I'm anchored to this right here. And the world's going to constantly bombard my mind. And see, I mean, Christians today, listen to me now, think that torture is good. They did a poll on whether people thought it was okay for the U.S. government to torture people. And 60% of people who went to church said yes. 40% of people who didn't go to church said yes. Something's wrong with these churches. You know, for people can think that it's okay for our government to torture people. I mean, they think torture is good. And if you're a patriotic American, you want the government to torture people. How can you get Christians to accept the government torturing people secretly? How do you get Christians to accept the things that they accept today? By a slow process of brainwashing. And I've addressed the issue of torture from the Bible. I mean, it's all in there, folks. This is the answer to every question. It's all in this book.
Amen.
You say, are we here to get brainwashed by you? It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I believe. This is what matters, the Bible. This book is what we believe in. After Pastor Anderson is gone, this book will still be here. Before I was born, this book was here. This is God's Word, and if you read this book every day, you'll be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You say, well, I don't agree with a lot of this stuff. You say, do you agree with the Bible? This is what you ought to agree with.
Amen.
And if you can show me in the Bible where I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Or if you can say, well, the Bible says you're wrong, Pastor Anderson, I'm going to believe what I believe because of this verse right here. Not just, well, I don't know why, but what you're saying just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right because it doesn't fit in with everything that you've been brainwashed your whole life. Starting in school, and now they want to get your kids when they're 3. They call it pre-K. K-3. They want to get those young minds into that government school and start training them. K-4, K-5, first grade, second grade, third. Then you get out of high school. And it used to be people got out of high school, they got married, they got a job. No, college. 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, indoctrinate you, train you, brainwash you. And then when you get home from school, turn on the TV. And when you're at the gas pump, crank up the radio and listen to the music that the world's putting out. And watch the TV that the world's putting out. And then on the weekend, go see a movie of what the world's putting out. And it's just every day it's being pumped into your mind. And then you might come to church twice a week, once a week, 3 times a week, for an hour. And you read your Bible for 5 minutes. And you expect to believe right? You expect to keep your mind pure? You expect to believe what's right? You're crazy. You've got to let this book, you got to just decide tonight in your own heart. And I want you to apply this sermon to yourself, not to somebody else. Apply it to yourself and say, you know what? It's time for me to quit letting the devil just have his way with my mind. I'm just going to turn off the TV. I'm just going to quit going to the movies. You know, I'm just going to quit listening to all this music for a while. Just shut it all down and just see what it's like, my friend. See what it's like to just have this book flowing into you, just reading the Bible. Without all that other junk, you'll see that things will start to clear up in your mind. Things will start to make sense to you. You'll start to see a little more clearly. You'll start to think, you know, maybe Pastor Harris is not that crazy. You know, it'll start to clear up for you when you renew your mind. Renew your mind. Don't let the world lead you down the path of worldliness and wickedness. Shut that stuff off. And look, you say, well, you're saying all TV's bad? I'm saying it all comes from the same place. I'm saying it's all controlled by the same people. You know, and this could go for so many other things. You know, a lot of your talk radio is just brainwashing you. You know, you've got to just shut that stuff off for a while and just get in this book and say, you know what? Why do I believe the things I believe? Why do I have the opinions I have? Why am I raising my children the way I'm raising them? And have a Bible answer to that question. Let God be God. And you know what? We're struggling with this more than any other generation because in the past, technology wasn't there. So people just kind of lived their life with books, the Bible. Many people, this was the main book. I mean, this was the book they had in their house. You know, this was it. This was the primary book. They'd read it on a daily basis. You know, before all this technology, people would just talk to other people. They'd talk to their friends. They'd talk to their family. They'd talk to a diversity of people. Here's your class on diversity. They would talk to a diversity of people, people with all different opinions. They get all different viewpoints. But with technology today, the devil's plan has sped up and ramped up because he can get everybody watching the same show, everybody watching the same movie, everybody listening to the same music, and he can get everybody on the same program, which is his program. Every kid on the same school curriculum, which is his curriculum, his plan, his indoctrination. And so today, more than ever in history, we need to decide to basically say, you know what? I'm going to shut it all out for a while and just open the Bible and bring some sanity into my life. Bring some truth into my life and rethink everything I believe. Reevaluate everything I believe. Is it biblical? Well, that's what everybody agrees with you. No, that doesn't matter. Is it biblical? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God.